last night, those first the first two innings, those two rookies did amazing things.
Amazing things, for sure.
And, you know, it's just too bad that they're not, like, locked in, like, some sort of pennant run or something like that. And who knows what could happen. It's just because it's – you see these things happen. There's a lot of baseball games. And these kids have proven, at least, you know, on the defense and both on the offensive side of the ball – that they belong here.
Yeah, so that's been the positive side to this disastrous season, that you've seen these kids sooner than we've thought, and they've looked the part, and they really are, I mean, embracing the opportunity to where you've got your two outfielders for the next, and if you assume Soto is going to play the outfield and not be a DH, you've got your outfield set for the next, you hope, 8, 9, 10 years. And that's that would be a positive to come out of what's been so far a very disappointing season.
I would say yes, that's true. But also, you know, Nolan McLean gets off to a horrendous start, and as either Keith or
did
Ronnie
did a nice job, though.
Here's Keith or Ronnie said that, you know, that the game could have been blown open
for
the first
sure.
inning and the second
yeah.
inning. And it wasn't. And then
bases loaded, nobody out in that second inning, only give up a run.
Right, and then all of a sudden, you know, he settles down. And you know, that's the kind of thing that you know that you that's when you know that these kids are going to make it, because he fought through those first two innings with a lot of help from his defense, which was nice to see. And all of a sudden he locked it down.
Yeah.
And then the bullpen comes in, a no-name bullpen, by the way,
yeah.
who nobody knows who anybody is.
Right. And no Senga last night, and Duarte winds up going out there and throws a nice, easy ninth inning, and he gets the save. It, again, it's a lost season at this point, but you are seeing at least signs of life.
Yeah, I think future players, yes. I mean, you know, and I'll tell you one thing, with Luis Robert in center field and those two kids in right and left, that may be one of the best defensive outfields in the major leagues
sure,
right now.
If Luis Robert can play.
Yeah,
and that was the issue.
And this would be the situation. It's too bad he hasn't really been the player that they were hoping, because this would be the situation where Juan Soto would be the DH.
You would have to think so, yes.
Yeah,
100%. With these three right now, for sure. It's just, not to go back to it, the problem wasn't the idea of Luis Robert playing, you know, and playing well. It was him actually playing and not being injured, which is kind
of
been
they've hired guys that were often injured and letting go guys that play every game.
It was high risk, high reward, and they lost, essentially.
And unfortunately, they did lose.
But
you know?
The idea with the pitching, though, is very interesting, because, I mean, you saw Tom Seaver pitch, and, I mean, I don't know if he was this way, but a lot of times you will hear people say, you've got to get to X early. If you don't get to him in the first couple of
you're
innings.
You're not going to get to him.
Right. So last night, the Padres had every opportunity, but the Mets had good defense, and I think he did a really good job in that second inning of escaping massive trouble. And then you saw, and keep in mind too, and they made a point of this, he's at like 40 something pitches in the second inning of this game, and you're thinking he's going to be out in three innings, and he gave you a little bit of length, and he was in line, got the win. And to me it shows the maturity from a kid who's been a little up and down this year, but I thought you saw a lot of really good stuff from him on what wasn't his best night given the first two innings.
You know, Tom Seaver was—he's a Hall of Famer and was an amazing pitcher. And I don't remember that being the case with him. Like, get to him early. I don't remember that being the case, but I do remember that being the case a little bit with Nolan Ryan when he was with the Mets, because he was wild initially,
right?
And if he walked a bunch of players, if I recollect, I'm trying to. I wasn't expecting to talk about either one of those players this morning.
It's more about aces. That's all.
I understand, and I just think if I remember correctly, Nolan Ryan just caught the world by storm because of how hard he could throw the ball. But if I kind of feel like when he was a Met, he was a little bit wild, you know. And that's that would be the saying, like, if you're going to get to this guy, get to him early, because once he finally settles down and finds the strike zone, then it's going to be impossible to hit him. But yeah, it was great for Nolan McLean, and I will say Zach Thornton has been good.
Yeah.
I mean, Christian Scott has been good. So there's young players here that to build around. There's no question about that, and it makes you feel good. I just don't know, and we don't know, and I don't even know if they necessarily know about the relationship between Soto and Lindor and how impactful that is negative wise to the team.
The wait is over. Football is here, and so is DraftKings. DraftKings is now live in all 50 states. One app, every sport nationwide. New DraftKings customers sign up with code 2400, spend $5 to get $200 in rewards within 21 days. Includes all markets. That's code 2400 in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org on behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas. Bet tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over. Void in Canada. Bet with DraftKings Sportsbook to get bonus bets that expire in 7 days or trade with DraftKings Predictions to get predictions dollars that expire in 1 year. Event contract trading involves risk of loss. Predictions offer void in New York. Non-withdrawable rewards issued as $50 click-to-claims every 7 days for 21 days. Terms at dkng.co/offer. Limited time offer. Nationwide based on sportsbook predictions and free-to-play sports contest availability. Varies by state.
Boxing fans, mark your calendars. Ryan Garcia puts his welterweight world title on the line against hard-hitting top contender Conor Benn, plus undefeated Australian superstar Jai Opetaia takes on Noel Michalian. Saturday, December 12th, all live on Paramount+. The feud between Garcia and Benn reaches a boiling point in one of the biggest fights of the year. The best part? There's no pay-per-view. The entire event is included with your Paramount Plus subscription. Saturday, September 12th, stream Zuffa Boxing's Ryan Garcia versus Conor Benn live on Paramount+.
They were talking about it last night. Again, you know, here's Francisco Lindor, you know, since Soto's been out, has been like this great player again. He's actually found his stroke. He's been playing great in the in the field. And everybody feels like, you know, okay, this is the Francisco Lindor. I wish we would see this in April and May.
For sure.
Maybe he likes the warm weather, you know, and loves to play baseball in this situation as opposed to the cold weather. But I know it's like a lost season, and the season was lost early in the season.
It has been. I give a couple of things here. Number one, you wonder at what point do other teams stop running on this outfield? Not necessarily Robert, but I mean Benjamin Ewing, because even Gary said that last night at one point. He's like, you know, are they not learning at what they're seeing?
But even Keith Hernandez said, you got to run. You got to make him throw the ball. You got to make him make
plays. I agree, but not on the first one. I mean, the guy's out by 15 feet because he got a bad break because he didn't know if it was going to fall. And to send him, I thought that. But the other ones, I agree. I mean, those are bang-bang plays, especially the one in the second inning that he was out by Keith going a break, thought he actually got his hand in. That's how close that play was. But the first one was kind of absurd. The other thing, too, I give the Met fan a lot of credit. I know that place wasn't packed last night, but the crowd was into it, and it was loud. And, you know, maybe, again, parts of the upper deck were kind of empty. I get that. But you think about how many games this team is still under 500. And to me, it shows a lot about the Met fan that maybe invested in the team because the team invested in the team. And to still be showing up in August, mid-August, I don't know. I was actually surprised how many people were there for that game last night and what it sounded like. It sounded like a team in a pennant race.
If you go to a game, you want your team to win, right?
For sure.
And, you know, the Padres are a good team, you know, and watching a couple really exciting plays in the first two innings go the Mets' way, that's exciting. I mean, that's great baseball. Agreed. That's great defense. That's great arms in the outfield. I mean, how many times do you see a guy throwing a guy out at home? You don't see it all that often, maybe once a week.
And yet you saw it three times, and you also got the ground ball with the bases loaded back to home. I mean, really, it was really something. Did you also catch, because clearly you were watching this, did you also catch when they were giving the Alonso update? I was waiting for them just to say something.
They're not going to.
I know. I'm well aware. But boy, it sounded like they wanted to. As Alonso said, now, they wound up losing the game, and they didn't complete the sweep, the four-game sweep of the Rays. The Rays came back, I think, in the eighth inning and scored three to beat them. But at the time, the Orioles had gone up 6-4. They were on the precipice of a four-game sweep of the Rays. Alonso hits his 28th home run, and it just felt like from the TV, someone wanted to say something.
They do, but they're not going to.
I know.
They're going to let it go. They're going to, you know, this is, and the thing about that I love about Ronnie and Keith and Gary is they're not afraid to tell you their opinions about a lot of different things.
For sure.
But there are some things that I think are untouchable. Given the fact of the way the fans feel about a particular player in this situation, it's Pete Alonso, that those guys are going to be dancing around it.
Yeah.
They're going to be dancing around it.
And they do a good job of that. And by the way, that series is coming up within a month or so. The Orioles in town to take on the Mets, where it is, let's see, when is that?
Those are all going to be sold out, and everybody's going to be wearing their Pete Alonso jerseys because they're going to be making a point.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, September 14th, 15th, and 16th at Citi Field.
I mean, Alonso's batting 267.
He's been on a tear for the last 6 weeks.
28 home runs, 81 RBIs, scored 77. I guess the slugging percentage is pretty good at 496.
Yeah. It's all pretty good. I mean, yes. He's had a good year. His OPS is in the 800s. And I don't know where they batted him last night, but I know a couple of nights ago, they're leading him off. which is so weird to see. He hit leadoff the other night. So
good news for him and them is that they've got, because the American League stinks
horrible,
they've got themselves into like position to
they're
maybe
tied for third right now.
Just maybe get a wild card.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be amazing if they get a wild card and he goes to the playoffs and hits a couple ding dongs?
Yes. Well, so right now you've got a very good chance that the Rays will win the division, and then you will have the Yankees, Red Sox, and Orioles as the three wild card teams. You'll have four teams.
It will be the test of time that will tell all of us whether or not the Mets did the right or the wrong thing here. Because there's a 5-year deal. First year of the five-year deal. He's doing well. He's doing exactly what he had done for the Mets. It's actually his batting average is even better than what he's done for the Mets.
Yeah,
and it's a abject failure that they didn't keep him because of the follies at first base the first half of the season. Now Jared Young, to his credit, has settled things.
He's actually been a stabilizing force. That guy has settled them down.
And I'm happy for him, and I like him, and I hope he comes back next year. I don't know if he'll be the everyday first baseman, but I like what he's done. He's done everything that you've asked him to, and due in large part to an injury to Mark Vientos.
Mm-hmm. Because they were given Vientos and Beatty every opportunity to play first base.
And it's not fair to those guys.
Agreed.